Like Effect continues on WUWM. I'm Audrey Nowakowski.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Several parts of the United States are seeing a veritable epidemic of Lyme disease, the tick-borne illness. Unfortunately, one of those places is Wisconsin, where diagnoses of Lyme disease have increased significantly in recent years. While that much is known, there are many questions that are as yet unanswered about why the disease is prevalent here and in some parts of the East Coast.
A new smartphone app developed by researchers at UW-Madison may shed light on the answers. Susan Paskowitz is chair of the entomology department at UW-Madison and one of the researchers behind the Tick app. She talked with Lakefect's Joy Powers about this latest research and the history of Lyme disease in Wisconsin.
The first case was probably back in the 1960s. And that was a human case where it was really obvious from the description of the symptoms of this person that he had Lyme disease, although they didn't call it that. It took a few years before Lyme was discovered in Old Lyme, Connecticut, so that was the middle 1970s. And then a few more years past that into about the early 1980s before we realized what the disease agent was and that the ticks were really important in terms of transmission. And a lot of that work was done on the East Coast, but of course we have the same ticks here. And so it was about that time in the early 1980s that we realized that our ticks also were infected and that people, more people than we had known, were getting sick.
So one of the questions I have just about Lyme disease in general is really, why do our ticks here in Wisconsin, in the East Coast, why do they have Lyme disease while those in the South and some other places, they don't?
Right. So that's a really wonderful and interesting biological story because it is the same tick. We call them Ixodes scapularis, the scientific name, or the black-legged tick, or the deer tick is probably more familiar to people in Wisconsin. And certainly deer ticks are really abundant here in the upper Midwest and Wisconsin and Minnesota and also along the East Coast, you know, now all the way up into Maine and really converging now. So we're starting to see them in lots of places where they didn't used to be, you know, Michigan, Indiana, and so on. But they also occur down in the southern United States. The difference seems to be that the behavior of this tick down there where it's hotter and drier is different from the behavior up here. And that may have a genetic component, so there may be some things that are about the populations that are a little bit different. But what we see is that up here, the immature stages, the nymphal stages, and the larval stages are going to be up sitting on the grass and the vegetation waiting for a host to come by, and then they're going to grab that host. And so they're just out there, you know, waiting for us to brush up against them. In the South, they just don't see that. When they go out and try to collect the ticks, they're not up. They're not actively looking in that same kind of way. What we think is they're probably down in the leaf layer, actually moving around more underground where it's more humid and looking for things like lizards that are buried down in there at night and feeding on down. So just a little bit of a difference in the biology of the tick is making a big difference in where we see disease.
So tell me a bit about the Tick app. When did this project start?
Well, this is a collaboration between the Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease here in the Upper Midwest and the Northeast Center of Excellence for Vector-Borne Disease, which is housed in Cornell. But our primary partners out there are actually some researchers at Columbia, and they started developing an app a couple years ago. We then began talking with them about some possibilities for joint projects comparing Lyme transmission in their area and in our area, and realized that they had felt that their app development was a fail. They only had, I think, 10 or 11 people who picked up the app, and we thought that maybe with some of the resources here at UW-Madison, we could develop something that would be a little bit more appealing to people. And indeed, with the rollout of the app already, I think we've got several hundred people who've signed up for it, so we're really pleased about that.
What kind of things does the app ask of participants? How do you participate with the app?
Yeah, so the app is designed as a research tool, but it's also designed as an educational tool. And so when you download the app, the first thing that will happen is you'll be asked to sign a consent form. So it will describe what's going to happen in terms of surveys and information we're going to collect. You sign off on that. And then you will do a kind of a pre-survey where we ask questions about the kind of properties, features of your property, aspects of your pets, what kind of activities you do outside. So you fill out this pre-survey, which for a lot of us has only taken about 5 or 10 minutes to do. And then what happens is each day for a period of about 2 weeks, in the peak transmission season, which is right now, you're going to get a reminder at the end of the day to fill out a tick diary. And that tick diary will ask you whether you encountered a tick. And if you did, then you go on and answer a few more questions about what you were doing and where you were when you encountered that tick. And if not, then you say no and you're all done. So just a few seconds that way. The other thing that is part of this is that if people should get a tick on their person and they want to report it outside of that diary window, we do have a report a tick function. So you can go in and take a picture, you can send it to us, and you can tell us what you were doing again when you picked that tick up. And that could be really valuable as we're trying to understand more about people's activity and the environments in which they're being exposed to Lyme and the other pathogens transmitted by these deer ticks.
Yeah, what kind of information do you hope to glean from this? I mean, you were just saying, you know, activities that people are doing, where they might be when they see these ticks. What can we learn from knowing these things?
I think one of the things we're hoping is to do this comparison with the East Coast, because traditionally there, you know, they've really thought that people are getting sick as a result of exposure in their own backyards. And that's really different. You know, when I first came to Wisconsin, the idea was that you went to your cabin up in the Northwoods, and maybe you were hiking or fishing or clearing brush on your property, and those were the kinds of activities that were quite different here from what people there were experiencing. We're not sure that that's true, and we really could use the help of people in Wisconsin now sharing with us more about where they're finding deer ticks. So this is one of our core goals, is to try to understand, are you picking them up when you're mowing the grass? Could you possibly be encountering deer ticks when you're out there working in your garden, whether it's a vegetable garden or ornamentals? Maybe it is when you're out there working along the edge and doing brush clearing in your property is a place where you might be at higher risk. But those are the kinds of things where we would really hope to get more information, because that would then help us think a lot more about how are we going to control transmission of disease. If it's on your property, we have ways then that we can think about trying to implement. If you're getting exposed solely as a result of hiking in our wonderful Northwoods, then we have to do really different things, because we're obviously not going to go out and do treatments in the woods. That's going to be much more than a personal an education on what people need to do every day to protect themselves.
So recognizing that we're still at really in kind of the beginning stages of this project, is there anything that we've learned so far?
You know, one of the things that we've been doing to implement the app is going out and talking a lot more with people. So we're ecologists and biologists, and a lot of what we do is go out and collect ticks, and we collect small mammals, and we don't interact so much with the public. But this app has kind of put us out of our comfort zone a little bit. We've gone out and worked with several communities in central Wisconsin, up near Minocqua and over in Eau Claire, down closer to the Madison area. And what we're finding is that people are really interested in receiving information about ticks and in helping us, you know, in participating. So they recognize the problem and they want to be a part of trying to figure out what some of the solutions might be.
So when you are talking to people about ticks, what do you tell them about avoiding them, about places where they might be hanging out?
Right. So, you know, from our work, I think the places where we think the highest risk are will be in wooded areas, because these ticks are really susceptible to drying out. So if you are in woods and you're walking down the hard pack on a trail, you're fine. You know, usually there aren't going to be a lot of ticks out in that kind of environment. As soon as you step off into the grass and the weeds a little bit on the side, though, then the deer ticks can be much more abundant in those locations. So I give people those kinds of warnings and then talk a bit about, you know, tucking your pants in your sock or using a repellent. You know, an insect repellent can be very helpful in that environment. There are also ways that you can treat your clothing. And very importantly, just remembering that at the end of the day, you need to take a shower and do that very careful tick check to look for them, because that's the primary thing that we would hope, right, is that you can get it off before it ever has a chance to transmit disease to you.
And if you have been bitten by a tick, what do you suggest people do?
So that's very dependent on how long the tick has been attached, and it's very dependent on what kind of tick it is. One of the things we're learning is that, you know, while many people are able to tell the difference between a deer tick and a wood tick, not everybody. So people are sending us pictures through the tick app, and sometimes we're realizing that these are actually wood ticks, and so there's no real worry with those in terms of disease transmission. So that's a good thing, right? But if you have the other tick on your person, if it is a deer tick, and it's been on for 24 hours, 36 hours, then you have this potential for Lyme transmission. If it's been on for shorter periods, there still is potential for transmission of other diseases. So you have a couple of choices then. You can be very careful and alert for symptoms over the next couple of weeks and go see your physician immediately. In that case, I would actually save the tick and take it with me so they would know what you were exposed to. Or you can go and talk to your doctor right away, because sometimes it's appropriate to get a prophylactic treatment of antibiotics. In other words, a preventative treatment of an antibiotic if you've had a tick attached for a 24 to 36-hour period.
Going back to the tick app, when do you hope to have more concrete results from the project?
So we should start analyzing data probably by the end of July. So we're in the peak period of data collection now, and over the next, say, 4 weeks. Usually we still see a lot of tick activity into the first couple weeks in July, and it begins to tail off a bit after that. So hopefully around the first part of August we'll start doing some analysis. We're all very curious, so we can barely stand not looking at the data yet just to see what might be emerging. But we are receiving a lot of pictures from people, because that's one of the functions of the app, is that you can take a picture and send it to us for an identification and some advice. And that's been a really interesting process as well. So we're already kind of analyzing what we're seeing with that.
Nice. Well, I look forward to seeing more of the results from the app. And Susan, thank you so much for speaking with me.
Well, thank you very much for letting me get the word out.
Susan Paskowitz is chair of the entomology department at UW-Madison and one of the researchers behind the Tick app. She spoke with Lake Effect's Joy Powers, and you'll find a link to more about her research and the app at WUWM.com.